Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a second special edition of the Weekly Newscast. My name is Chris Justy. I am the web admin. I'm not joined by Dez. I'm joined here by Jerome Tucson, our senior editor. Jerome, how's it going?
I mean, there's so much to discuss, Chris. I mean, you guys did a very, very solid job of covering, you know, I still think some of the more regular things that the Weekly Newscast should be covering. And, you know, tonight what I really wanted to focus on was, you know, sort of the footnotes, sort of the issues behind the issues. You know, there's so much going on right now. And one of the things that I just finished today was a column that's going up on next Tuesday, where I sort of detail all of the things that happened in the month of January. And when you really look at it, you know, it started on January the 1st with Matt Hardy getting arrested at 5:45 a.m. in the morning. And, you know, we're sitting here on January the 30th, and it has been a crazy week as part of a crazy month of wrestling, with about 6 months worth of news. And, you know, it's incredible to think of just everything when you just put it all on the table. You know, you've got this, the WWE Network, ordinarily in any other month, would be probably the story of the year. But you look at what happened this past Sunday, the Royal Rumble was basically hijacked by the audience in Pittsburgh, and the, you know, they made their voices heard. CM Punk has walked out of the company, and you know, you look at what's going on in TNA. AJ Styles is not a part of TNA anymore. The American Wolves are no longer a part of Ring of Honor anymore. So much has happened, and I think it sets up the rest of the year in very interesting fashion, because, you know, it's not even February yet, and it feels like WWE has a lot to account for 2 months before WrestleMania, and it's just been a crazy month.
Yeah, like you said, it feels like there's been 6 months worth of just news, for lack of a better term, coming out of this month. It's crazy. So why don't we get into this? Yesterday, you texted me and you said you wanted to discuss some topics, some of which I didn't even, in our normal conversations, I did not think in a million years you'd want to talk about. But apparently, something got your dander up, and you really want to set this. So let's get into this. These are mostly topics we didn't discuss in the first part. Dez and myself, and of course our guest Matt Ryan, he had other things to talk about other than, as you said, these topics. These are, I think they're a little bit more than footnotes, Jerome. Some of them are, but some of these, you know, they're major, major happenings in the world of professional wrestling, not just independent wrestling, but they definitely can have an effect on everything else going on. So why don't we start off with a topic that you wanted to discuss? And, Jerome, I'm kind of interested to hear what you have to say about it.
Well, you know, I'm not going to make a moral argument, because I think moral arguments generally don't work, because there's just a fallacy, and I think everybody sort of has different standards for what they consider to be okay. And, you know, I don't think we should ever get into the business of trying to legislate morality. It's just, it doesn't work. But the thing that really bothered me this past weekend, or this past week, was the Matt Hardy story. Matt Hardy was arrested, and after an alleged physical altercation with his wife, Rebby Sky. And, you know, I'm not here to really talk about it from their perspective, because, you know, their marriage is their marriage. It's their life. They ultimately can choose how they want to live it. But my concern is sort of with how Ring of Honor has approached this. And, you know, there's no word yet on whether Ring of Honor knew anything beforehand or whether they're going to take action. But based on Ring of Honor's behavior the last couple days, as this story has sort of trickled out, it doesn't look like Ring of Honor is going to do anything. And the thing that I thought back to once this story broke and I really started to think about it is, you know, last year there was a lot of controversy surrounding what Jay Briscoe was saying on Twitter when the state of Delaware legalized gay marriage. And Jay Periscope basically went on Twitter and he threatened to shoot anyone who said that this was okay, and, you know, talking about raising his kid in a certain way. And there was a lot of controversy after that about what Jay Briscoe said, and sort of the immediacy of Twitter lent itself to people saying, oh, Jay Briscoe should be suspended, he should be fired. And Ring of Honor took a lot of action towards that. Jay Briscoe was he was putting Twitter time out by the company. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was suspended but he had his paycheck he either donated it or he was fined 2 shows worth of paychecks, correct?
Yes, by his words, he chose to donate, but of course, you know, the situation was what it was.
And, you know, Ring of Honor, they started this thing with the No Hate organization, and, you know, they've done a couple of photo shoots since then, and, you know, they've sort of been really proactive about handling this in about as good of a way as possible. You know, I think that ultimately, it's very tough for me to say, oh, Jay Briscoe should have been fired because his beliefs are his beliefs. But when I think about this situation, and ultimately, I don't know what Matt Hardy did. I don't know what happened in that hotel room. But it seems to me like the behavior of Matt Hardy is significantly worse than what Jay Briscoe said. What Jay Briscoe said was not illegal. He has the right to say that. Ring of Honor has the right to punish him because they're his employer, and they sort of have that. That's what they could act in that way however they choose. And in this case, you know, Matt Hardy was arrested. You know, I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of a court date. You know, we obviously have the standard of innocent until proven guilty, and in no way do I think that standard is any different for Matt Hardy. But I have a problem with Ring of Honor doing what they did to Jay Briscoe for something that he said. And here we have Matt Hardy being arrested and Ring of Honor does absolutely nothing. They don't acknowledge it. There's no punishment from anything that we've been told. There's been no public repudiation. And that to me, I think, is not just an inconsistency of standards, but for Ring of Honor, who, again, is part of a publicly traded company, I think it's a very poor reflection on them because they have a reputation over the last year, whether it's justified or not, of not treating women very well on their Ring of Honor programming. You know, you look at the Hoopla Hotties, you look at all of the women that were beaten up by men at Final Battle. And, you know, I think Ring of Honor, I feel like they are in a tough position. And I think that the wrestling media as a whole should be holding Ring of Honor to a higher standard based on what they did to Jay Briscoe last year and the swift action that they took.
Yeah, I can see your case. I mean, in other sports, you know, particularly the NFL, even if it's a domestic situation where a talent, you know, for lack of a better term, football players are talents, wrestlers are talents. They may be independent contractors, but when something like that happens, you at least acknowledge it. And Ring of Honor hasn't done that yet. I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they're trying to wait till the weekend. You know, a lot of times, what is it? They put out news on Fridays to try to bury it. You know, a lot of businesses do the same thing. But
they take out the trash.
Exactly. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they will. But as of this moment, they haven't. And I kind of agree with you that they reacted to Jay Briscoe in a certain way. You can say that it was founded or not, depending on your beliefs. But as you say, Jerome, clearly he has the legal right to voice that opinion. And while this is a different situation, I'd say there's some subtleties here. You know, we're not going to play the blame game. Matt did this. Revy did that. But, yeah, I also agree that Ring of Honor should at least acknowledge it and just try to get ahead of it also. You know, just say, hey, we know what happened with Matt. We don't agree. You know, well, maybe they can't even go that far because, you know, they may not know details. But I would
hope. The only thing that they should do, I think, just take him off shows until this matter is settled. Because clearly what was in the arrest record, which is public record, so I'm not going out of bounds here, there were issues of alcohol and substance abuse. And it's an easy fix. You just say Matt Hardy will not be any future shows as he takes care of personal matters. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, that's probably the best decision they could make in this case, because I don't think that Ring of Honor needs any issues right now. And, you know, an argument can be made that Matt Hardy probably shouldn't be on shows anyway. I would love to make that argument, but I don't think that's what this is about. If Michael Elgin or if any other wrestler on the roster from, you know, Roderick Strong, Jay Lethal, those guys, if they were put in this situation as well, I'd like to think that I would feel similarly, because I don't think that, you know, if you put yourself in a situation where you're being arrested and there's alcohol and other controlled substances, you know, that, I don't think that's anything that we can all sit here and laugh at or, you know, joke around about. I don't think that's okay. And I think that Ring of Honor, to me, this just reeks of a lot of inconsistency in the way that they're behaving towards the wrestlers, and basically saying that what Jay Briscoe said is actually worse than what Matt Hardy did.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're almost condoning it by having the lack of a response. So I agree. I have nothing to counter you with.
All right. What else, Chris? What else would you like to discuss?
Well, I think you mentioned a lot of it in the beginning. There's a void now in WWE, correct? Well, maybe we should even start with what preceded that. The Royal Rumble, Daniel Bryan, these chants. Jerome, did you watch it? Did you watch it live?
I have watched I watched Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt, and I watched John Cena and Randy Orton. I have not watched the Rumble match itself yet.
Okay, so I watched, I got home, and I just turned, I had already ordered it, and I was like, okay, I'll just watch it. And they pretty much just expected the whole way through. They're chanting Daniel Bryan, I believe, from the descriptions. I haven't gone back and watched because I don't care. During the Cena Norton match, I guess they were chanting boring and all this other stuff, and they were chanting for Daniel Bryan. And man, throughout the Royal Rumble, you kind of felt like, okay, even if it isn't planned for Daniel Bryan to be there, they have to call an audible, right? They have to, and they didn't. When Rey Mysterio came out, booze galore, it just, the show from there just went downhill, and it was pretty,
I mean, boring. It started with John Cena and Randy Orton.
Yeah, it might have even started earlier in the night. I mean, God, some of those matches, I don't know, but just from hearing descriptions of them and reviews of the show, this crowd wanted Daniel Bryan, and I don't know what it says to him.
Oh yeah, they wanted Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I mean, this is I consider it differently than when, after the last WrestleMania, when the crowd kind of took over, you know, with their chants and kind of going to business for themselves. That's different than this. Because here, there was a level of expectation from the fans, from the company that, and even in storyline, if you think about it, made sense. They wanted to see their underdog favorite come into a situation where he could possibly put himself in a better position. Now, granted, we've all, I think, most people listening to this have heard that this is still an ongoing storyline. It's going to play into it some way. But I don't see how you don't hear that crowd and call an audible and say, you know what, let's just do it. Let's just pull the trigger. I'm not saying he should win, because there could have been something in that too. You know, even if you just put him in there and Batista still wins, at least it's an acknowledgement that, you know what, we heard you and we're doing, you know, because obviously everyone paid to be there. This is what your paying customer wanted to see. So I don't know, Jerome. It's fascinating because it's a study as to how this major corporation, how they think, and then the entertainment value that they give us in return. Sometimes that just doesn't balance out. So, and I have no way to defend WWE, because normally you would think I'd be that person saying, you know what, it's a storyline. Let's see where it goes. Sometimes I'm that guy, and in this sense, it's like, no, I think it would have been better to call an audible.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that the fans of Pittsburgh, again, you know, they have the First Amendment right to chant anything except the words like fire or bomb. But, you know, I've always believed that the best way to show that you are not supporting a professional wrestling company is to not watch their shows and to not give your money. I think once you sort of give them your money, then you've already left them win. And especially the Royal Rumble, you're talking about fans paying hundreds of dollars to sit in these seats. And I feel like you're, in a sense, with all these chants, you know, you're sort of feeding the beast. But evidently, this Royal Rumble had a dramatic effect on at least one person who we're going to get to in a couple minutes. And who knows, you know, maybe a wise decision is going to be made and Daniel Bryan is going to be slotted into the WrestleMania main event, or he's going to win the title at some point. Who knows? It really doesn't matter to me at a certain point, because, you know, WWE is going to do what they're going to do, and the fundamental business practices that they have been using for the last 10 to 15 years, they're not going to change.
And unfortunately, they have no reason to, right?
With the WWE Network, and especially with the fact that their, you know, their Sky Sports contract has apparently gone up exponentially, and there's the potential of them making $800 million a year from the USA Network and NBC Universal. So they're obviously not going anywhere anytime soon, and I don't see a reason for them to change.
No, and honestly, unfortunately, they don't see a reason to change either. I mean, because they are so successful. And there is a point where you can make that argument, though, that yes, there's a loud, vocal minority that really wants Daniel Bryan there. And I really like the way that Meltzer kind of put it into his report that, but when it comes to something tangible, something measurable, it's not there. And until someone can make the argument that it is, you know, a business is going to do what they're supposed to do, and that's to maximize profits. That's their job, and that's exactly what Vince is doing.
I mean, I think
it is an entertainment entity. I understand that there is supposed to be a balance there, but you know, at the end of the day, that's their job. And if we tell them, hey, we're still giving you our money, but you know, we can tell them till we're blue in the face that they're doing something wrong. But every time you watch their show, every time you give them money, you know, you're not sending them that message.
I mean, the easiest solution is just don't buy the WWE Network. I mean, they're putting a lot of money towards this. This is a huge deal for them. That's the best statement that you can make, is to not put money towards that network. If you are of the belief that what WWE is doing is stupid and you're tired of it, you know, there are 100 other wrestling companies. There's Netflix. There's so many other avenues of entertainment. There is no reason that anyone should be miserable enough to sit in Pittsburgh or in front of their television watching WWE if they're not liking what they're seeing. If someone likes WWE, if they like the direction, if they want to go cheer for John Cena, then go ahead, be my guest. I have nothing wrong with people who are enjoying the WWE, but it seems like increasingly there are people who are disgruntled with the product, who are not doing anything to change it. All they're doing is they're watching the show, they're complaining about it on Twitter, or they're going to shows, and they're chanting. I don't see how this helps their cause. The best way to change things is to ignore them and to not give them money, to not give them viewership, and you know, that's how companies and that's how the model will get changed.
Well, this is why I don't watch Raw, Jerome, but of course I'm just one person, and they, come on, let's be honest, they don't care. But what about yourself? I know you're a CM Punk fan. So given the news that we're going to talk about and this Daniel Bryan thing, are you changing your mind on the network? Are you going to be buying it or what?
You know, I think it's a decision that I'm going to make on February the 24th. I'm sort of 50-50. I think I was a slam dunk when it was first announced, but at this point I'm 50-50 for the reasons that I have stated. I don't ever want to explicitly or implicitly support something that I do not believe in. And if CM Punk is going to get himself frustrated to the point where he's going to walk out, if they are not going to put forth the talents that I like and respect in a main event position, because, you know, I know that people like to bring up sort of the 80s and the 90s, but whereas in the 1980s and the 1990s, I think there was something to be said for guys who were on the mid card still being relevant. You know, I think even in the early 90s, when Bret Hart was the WWF Intercontinental Champion, the Intercontinental Championship, it meant something. You know, maybe it wasn't it wasn't Hogan drawing all the money. You know, Hulk Hogan was still main eventing the Ultimate Warrior. It was still the land of the giants. But there was that slot where guys like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and, you know, some of the smaller guys, they could sort of find their niche. I mean, WrestleMania 3, you know, Hogan and Andre, that's the match that drew everybody into the building. But Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat were still able to steal the show with one of the greatest matches in the history of wrestling. And the problem in 2014 is because the WWE is so focused on the main event and guys like Cena and Orton, and the titles have sort of been bastardized. I mean, if I were to go up to the average WWE fan, I am wondering how many could tell me who the Intercontinental Champion is even right now. Because I bet...
To be honest, I couldn't tell you.
It's Biggie Langston. And Dean Ambrose is the U.S. Champion.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. So if you're not in the main event, it doesn't matter. That's the difference between 2014 and 1992 and 1987. Yeah. If Daniel Bryan and CM Punk were fighting for the Intercontinental title and the Intercontinental title was having 20-minute matches on pay-per-views, then the conversation is a lot different. But if Daniel Bryan is just shuttling around the mid-card, as WWE has shown on Raws and SmackDowns and with their booking, it doesn't matter. Guys exchange wins and losses. They wrestle on Raw and SmackDown every week. They wrestle, you know, how many times have Kofi Kingston and Dolph Ziggler wrestled, for God's sakes, or Alberto Del Rio and Rey Mysterio and Alberto Del Rio and Kofi Kingston? These guys have wrestled so many times they probably lost track. And it doesn't matter. Look at where Kofi Kingston is here in January 2014. Look at where he was in January of 2010 or 11. Has anything changed at all? He is probably in the exact same position he was in 2014 as he was in 2010. And that's not a good thing. And Alberto Del Rio is in the exact same boat.
I think there was a meat to the mid-card back then. I mean, I can think 10 years ago, 2003, well, technically 2004, but let's go to 2003. I can remember Eddie Guerrero being the United States champion and feuding with guys like Rhino and Tajiri. Those memories are clear in my brain. I could not tell you right now, who is Big E Langston feuding with? You know, I guess I know that Dean Ambrose is, well, from what I read from Raw, so I guess The Shield is fine. I was just about to say he's feuding with Roman Reigns, but I guess that's not true.
Well, The Shield is going to be broken up, but it's not about the United States title.
No, and it has nothing to do with anything.
The U.S. title has nothing to do with what's going on.
Right, so I think that's kind of the gist of what you're saying. Even just 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I can distinctly remember what was going on in the mid-card, and now, I couldn't tell you a mid-card feud, you know, that's going on. Besides the main event feuds, what is there? So,
I mean, WWE has a set, and the other problem is, of course, you know, bringing in the part-time guys. You know, the guys, the Batistas, bringing in Batista, having him walk out on Raw. 6 days later, he wins the Rumble. He's in the main event at WrestleMania. What message are you sending to the rest of your locker room when you're basically bringing in a guy off the street? And granted, you know, he's got some street cred and he's been a huge part of WWE at a certain point. But if you're just going to come in and give this guy everything, I mean, it's got to be very frustrating. And I think that's why I think some fans are also frustrated because of, you know, Batista just coming in and he's immediately thrust into the main event position after not being around for a couple of years. And when there have been guys like Dolph Ziggler and Antonio Cesaro who have been loyal and, you know, maybe they're not going to get a spot on WrestleMania now because of that. And I think that's very unfortunate because, and I liken this to WWE and Hollywood, big studios have the exact same problem right now, in that they are so focused on the short term, they're so focused on sort of making money now, that they are willing, they're sacrificing the future, their respective industries, to just make as much as they can right now or tomorrow. And, you know, while there's nothing wrong with, you know, having an Iron Man 3 and a Man of Steel and, you know, Disney owning Star Wars and getting a Star Wars movie every year, I don't think it's healthy for the industry that they're sort of going back to the same well and they're doing the same things over and over again. And I think that that's sort of where WWE is at right now. They're sort of doing the same things over and over with guys from the past, and they're not putting their energy behind future, whoever they believe in, whether it's Roman Reigns, whether it's somebody from NXT. Now that they're in a position where they're about to sign these huge contracts, they have the WWE Network. Now more than ever is the time when they should be focused on creating new stars, because they don't really have to worry about drawing a house show next week. They don't really have to worry about getting 250,000 buys in North America and 150,000 across the world anymore. They don't have to do that. All of the money from these pay-per-views is basically going to be going into their pocket because of the WWE Network. And I sort of feel like WWE needs to focus on building newer stars and getting over this mentality that, you know, we have to have the New Age Outlaws as our tag team champions in the year 2014, or that, you know, Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels have to be at the Royal Rumble, or, you know, we had to have The Rock be the WWE champion. So,
Jerome, it sounds like you're just ready to walk out. It really does. You're just ready to throw it in there. Why don't we get to that? CM Punk, he voiced some very similar issues, apparently, with Batista being in the main event, and some stuff came up about him discussing Daniel Bryan, and it's a very convoluted mess, but what we know is that around 6 p.m. Monday, right before Raw, he got a hold of Vince at around 7 and said, "Hey, going home." And that's what he did. And they had to change a lot of Raw. They're changing a lot of their advertisement going forward. They're changing some storylines. Jerome, you're a Chicagoan. You're obviously a fan of CM Punk, I would assume. I'm assuming you agree with his actions.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that it's unprofessional. I mean, let's not pretend that it isn't. I mean, when you say you're going to be somewhere and then you sort of walk out, it's not professional.
Oh, I've heard people try to make the argument, though, like saying, "Oh, he's standing up for what he believes in," and I do that at my job. It's like, "Oh, good. Good to know."
Now, I think it's unprofessional. However, I also think that it's a little bit more nuanced than that as well, because, you know, you're talking about professional wrestling. You know, there's obviously a lot more to this than meets the eye. I think on the surface, I think it is unprofessional, but I don't think we know enough about the situation as it stands to really say just how bad it is, because, you know, it's obvious that CM Punk is burned out. That has come across in interviews that he's done, and based on all indications and why he left, you know, there is obviously he's having issues physically, mentally, and spiritually, and it's very tough. And, you know, I think that anyone of a certain age has experienced exactly what CM Punk is doing, what CM Punk is going through as far as burnout and really, you know, maybe wanting to do something else or to take a break from your job. The only difference is that CM Punk has this thing called fuck you money. And because of the fact that he does not partake in extracurricular activities as it relates to controlled substances, and he doesn't live in a mansion or he does not have a golden boat, CM Punk can go home and he can read comic books on his couch at his home in Chicago and not really have to worry about what anybody has to say. So it makes a huge difference. And I think that, you know, for people who say, and we'll get into this in a minute, but, you know, I think this is a very tough conversation. You know, there's so many reports. Everybody thinks that they know something. The bottom line is CM Punk could easily be on WWE Raw on Monday, and it would not surprise me in the least. CM Punk could appear 6 months from now. He could never appear again. and it wouldn't shock me, because I think CM Punk is, if nothing else, he has proven to be his own man, and he really, I think more than anyone in the industry right now, pro wrestler or promoter, nobody takes more pride and is willing to stand up for themselves more than CM Punk.
Yes, and I could agree with that. For myself, I do agree that was unprofessional, and I genuinely have a problem with it. Just because I don't disagree that he has a right to be burnt out and feel a little bit, or I'll feel a lot, not appreciated by WWE, by the guys in charge. But you know what? You're not just there for that. You're there for the fans. You're there for the people that put the money in your pocket that allowed him to have that fuck you money. And he basically decided, you know what? No, I'm going home. It's Monday, man. You could have done your job there. Maybe you didn't go to SmackDown. Maybe the rest of the week you don't do their house shows and you tell them, hey, you know what? We really need to work this out. But you're already there. You're already at the show. You're at the building. And you know what? I don't care who you are. And this is just my position on this. Jerome, you saw where I grew up. I grew up in an area where there's tons of wealthy people and there's tons of celebrities. I've met some real assholes, and I've met some guys who also have no reason to be nice or kind to me, and they did. They showed me a little bit of respect and dignity, and they make tons more than CM Punk, and they have jobs that where they'd be more burned out.
To be fair, I think CM Punk is probably an asshole whether he's rich or not.
No, exactly. No, and that's what I'm saying. So I'm not going to feel that sorry for him, but I can understand his frustration, and if he chose to walk out, that's great. But I'm not going to feel sorry for him, and I'm not going to agree with his choice to do it, because to me, the fans are more important than him, than his personal issues. He had the whole week to deal with it. That one night, give the fans that had already paid to see him there in the building, give them what they want, because without them, he wouldn't have what he has. And yes, he's talented as all hell. I'm not denying that. He has talent up the wazoo. But you know what? Who gives a shit if you're the best wrestler in the world, but no one wants to pay to see you? And when you do little things like this, yeah, there's going to be a lot of his very loyal fans that say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm behind him and all that stuff. To me, he just disrespected those fans because they paid to see him. And I mean, if no one agrees with me, that's fine. But that's my point. I'm not going to go to a concert and then the band says, you know what, guys, we're frustrated with our management. Goodbye. Did anyone get refunds? No. Okay, then. Then that's messed up. So, you know, that's just my take. I do agree that they have used them wrong. I do think it's there's a certain aspect of it where if I was Vince or Triple H and I go, you know what, I get what he's saying. Batista, yeah, he's here. He's going to give us a, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, a big payday for WrestleMania. But you know what, there are guys here that bust their ass and deserve those spots, and especially on big money shows. So, yeah, slide in Daniel Bryan to that main event. I'm actually still more along the lines of I would rather see Daniel Bryan face Triple H and then go and is it Extreme Rules or something afterwards in Seattle, and that's
Extreme
where he wins
Rules was moved to Seattle a couple weeks ago in the working series. That Daniel Bryan is going to win the title there
you go. So I'd rather see that, but I do understand putting guys who have busted their butts over the last few years, who have been obviously on hand a lot more than guys like Batista and The Rock. And I mean, I think I said it on the newscast. I didn't really like The Rock coming in. I understood why they did it. Business-wise, it made perfect sense. And The Rock, hey, nothing against him. He's a great guy. But, I could understand where CM Punk's coming from. My feeling is a little bit more with the fans than him at this moment. But you're right. I don't think we have enough information to fully grasp what happened. If we find out that CM Punk tried to make it and tried to tell Vince, hey, you know, I'll stay if, you know, you just, you know, do this or that. And Vince said, nope, just go, you know, go home, we don't need you. Then, yeah, then CM Punk was in the right. But until we find that out, I can only go on the information that we have.
And this could all be work, too. Don't let's not.
It is wrestling. It's all a work, Jerome. It really is. At the end of the day.
I like to leave that door open because, who knows? I mean, I think I said this about Daniel Bryan, but if Daniel Bryan, if they basically tank the Rumble, and to get this huge reaction and, you know, Bryan ends up winning at WrestleMania, then
it's
maybe in a bizarre way, WWE is brilliant.
Right? I think, right?
Tom Green posited this thought on his blog. I wish If you can find the link, put it in, Chris. Put
I will.
Link.
I saw you tweet about it. I definitely will.
But yeah, then WWE is absolutely brilliant, and I'm a fool. And they deserve my money for the WWE Network if they were able to pull this off. I will say that.
I feel there's an underlying conversation there that says at National Pro Wrestling Day, we're all going to be fools. I just had to throw that out there. I'm sorry. We don't have to talk about it. I just had to throw it in there.
I'm going to stay away from that one big time.
Yes.
I think, you know, and people who say this is a very lucrative time for CM Punk to be leaving. I mean, that might be true, but, you know, I think that something else that's at play here is the pay-per-view bonuses for WWE wrestlers.
That I find more deplorable. That is a big story to me.
That's a huge story.
They haven't talked to – and I mean, just the recent updates from Meltzer and Powell at ProWrestling.net and The Observer – they still haven't talked to their talent about it. There was supposed to be a planned meeting. It didn't happen. They still haven't figured that out. That, to me, just boggles
my mind. If that played into why CM Punk left, then I, you know, and that's another reason that, while I still think it's unprofessional, that, you know, I have a hard time really, really blaming him, because, you know, if I'm in that position, you know, WrestleMania is undoubtedly the biggest payday of the year.
Right.
You know, that's the potential. You're talking about six figures. If you're in the main event or one of the main events, you're talking about potentially six figures.
Yeah, that's make a difference money. Night, so. Especially to a guy like the Usos or Zack Ryder, who, you know, maybe they kind of, you know, they make a fine, you know, their guaranteed money's okay. They do okay in merch. But WrestleMania, that's what they count on. And you don't have a formula yet to give
overall.
Them that money? That's...
It's not just WrestleMania. It's
ridiculous.
The pay-per-views.
Yeah,
it's,
and the pay-per-view, that's just ridiculous. That is inexcusable. That's a big story in and of itself that they haven't addressed it. And they are the largest promotion, you know, in the world when it comes to wrestling. Come on. And
WWE, again, they're going to be collecting all of this money from the network. It's all going straight to them. I don't understand how you don't have this settled.
Yeah.
We
can complain about TNA's financials and how they don't, you know, get communication with their talents. This is 1,000 times worse, in my opinion,
because
they
TNA,
knew it was
at tough. Least you can say TNA doesn't draw anything.
Jerome, 300 people were there at their last show. Come on.
AAW and AIW did 300 people last month in December, and they don't have national television contracts.
Well, AAW will be on Roku soon, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, no, It to me, that is the it's not a bigger story than Daniel Bryan or CM Punk, but it's right up there when it comes to.
It's an underlying story, and it's something that I think is going to really start to play itself out as we get closer to the opening of the network, and as we get closer to WrestleMania, which is the biggest payday of the year, and you know, how is this going to affect the talent? Are talent going to be? Are they going to start to make decisions for themselves? As it regards, you know, this situation about possibly leaving.
I love how royalties are going to work, too. Because think about it. All the content they're supposed to get paid and past talents are supposed to get paid based on that and viewership. You're going to have to figure that out. Like, yeah, we did show, like, say there was a match with Lance Storm. And it plays over and over and over on the network. Have they even responded to him and said, hey, Lance,
by the
way, this
is how... I don't think Hollywood dealt with this problem either. So it's not just a WWE problem. It's with streaming content overall that the issue really hasn't been addressed. And my guess is the next SAG...
Well, they're using the MLB network, right? And that has a much better reputation when it comes to streaming. But I get what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be an issue for all the entertainment industries as streaming increasingly becomes a factor in people's viewing habits. It just has to be. I mean, It's going to be a reality check for everybody. But, yeah, CM Punk not around right now, but we're going to find out a lot more. And all I could say is we don't know anything. Chris doesn't know anything. I don't know anything. If CM Punk does an independent wrestling show at any time within the next year, I will be very, very surprised if he does that. I think, you know, I think at this point, Punk is going to be taking some time off to rest, regardless of whether this is a part of the plan or not. And, you know, when he wants to make a statement on Twitter or the Art of Wrestling, then he's going to make it. But You know, I think we just have to take it sort of one day at a time. And, you know, I hope people stop obsessively following the story and hope, you know, so-called insiders, you know, don't speculate to death and just kill the story, because I'm already starting to get tired of it.
Yeah, I am too. Let's just see what happens. And, you know, hey, he is technically still in the contract. I don't think he put himself in a position where they could take him to court, because that's not fun, no matter what. No matter how much money you have, it's never fun. So why don't we transition from that, Jerome? There's some couple independent pro wrestling topics we wanted to talk about. I guess we can start off with the promotion that you're very familiar with, AAW. They announced some big stuff at Chaos Theory. Why don't you tell us about it since you were there?
I mean, the biggest story coming out of AAW is the Chaos Theory. But this is really the biggest story that AAW has had in a long time. And coming off the heels of the WWE Network, this is probably a bigger deal than before, in that they are going to be on a channel on, if you have a Roku player, I believe 10 million people across the country have a Roku player. Then what you're going to be able to do, starting on March the 1st on Matty G Television, you will be able to watch AAW. It will be a weekly half-hour to one-hour program that is going to be aired completely free. All you have to do is download the channel. Matty G TV apparently is a relatively new channel that is going to be playing some independent movies, television shows, and AAW. I have to get someone from AAW on to tell the story, because how they got on this network is one of the craziest stories, and I can't do it justice. But let's just say this deal came across very, very quickly, 24 to 48 hours before the Chaos Theory happened, basically, is when this all went down. It's going to cost AEW exactly $0 to be a part of this network. AEW, in return, will be getting $0 for putting it on. But, you know, I think there's a lot of positives. More people are going to be getting the Roku player because of WWE. Eventually, I think we're going to get to a point when the NFL and the NBA and the MLB, I think they're going to be going to either their own streaming services, or they're going to have their own apps and, you know, be able to just take people's money directly, not deal with the cable companies. So I think stuff like the Roku player, the Chromecast, Apple TV, this is going to become an increasing part of the way that we consume our entertainment. And AEW gets to be a part of that. You know, they're the first ones to tell you that Danny Daniels will not be making a lot of money. He will not be able to buy a golden boat, but it will be increased exposure, and professional wrestling fans will be able to watch AEW on television for free. And if you do not own a Roku player, all indications are that they will be putting the show on YouTube for those who, don't have, or who like their computer so much.
Or who have a Chromecast and watch YouTube on their television. I mean, I think this is really big news. I'm not going to ask you to spill all the beans, but from what I understand, the channel itself, and I don't know if you've ever watched it. I don't even know if you have a Roku player, but
I do.
Yeah, right. Okay, right. Yeah, I think I've asked you that before. So the channel kind of emphasizes entities that don't have huge monetary backings, correct? So AAW fits that perfectly.
Yes.
There are apparently some other interesting shows on there as well. I saw Phil Colvin talking about some that kind of piqued my interest in a weird way.
I actually can't find the channel yet, but I'll worry about it closer to March 1st.
Yeah. No, I mean, I find that really intriguing. As you said, with WWE Network working on the Roku, a lot of people are going to be purchasing one. And this is great news. And of course, as you said, on YouTube itself, that's a fine platform as well. There are quite a few people on YouTube.
Yep. I mean, I think this is really great news for AEW. And we'll see where it leads. You know, I'm sure that their popularity is going to go up exponentially. But I think it's going to make a tangible difference, because I think people from around the country are going to be able to see this.
Yeah,
that's a good thing, because it's funny because, you know, I immediately thought of how Ring of Honor sort of is dealing with the issues of, you know, bad time slots, and there is a distinct possibility that people are going to be able to watch AEW on their television easier than watching Ring of Honor, and that's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, that is. That's definitely something to be said for that. So
all you need, if you're an independent wrestling fan, is a Roku player, which is $50 to $90, and decent Wi-Fi, and you're going to watch AEW. If you want Ring of Honor TV, you have to be in a Sinclair market, heaven forbid, God help you if you are, or you have to go to their website, which is not exactly user-friendly.
No, their website is not state-of-the-art at all. That's pretty sad. So, Jerome, I think that pretty much covers all the topics you texted me. Is there anything else that you really wanted to touch on?
I think that's pretty much it. I strongly recommend everybody search out Masaki Mochizuki and Masato Yoshino from Dragon Gate Infinity 324. It is an early candidate for Match of the Year. Mochizuki is 44 years old, and he is in way, way better shape than I will ever be. So that is
match.
Both inspiring and sad. Yes.
That match. Oh, my God. That was fantastic. The opening chop sequence alone was hilarious. But at the end, and you put factor that he's 44 years old, and then you look at a guy like Batista, and you're like, yeah, he's not as impressive anymore. Yeah. So, yeah, I encourage everyone to check out that match. I think it's pretty obvious where you can find it. So, there you go. I encourage
open the DragonGate.com.
There you go. 325, you can... Nah, don't skip it. Watch it. It's fine. I haven't watched all of it. I only watched half of that one. So, anyway. Jerome, why don't we get out of here and put some plugs out? You got a lot of articles and stuff. You have a new format to your reviews as well.
Well, I don't have a new format. It's just I'm reviewing every show in some form or fashion. I'm trying to review every show that I watch. I'm sort of at least doing like a small little paragraph about it. Just because it's honestly, at the end of last year, I sort of wanted to do like a match of the year list, and I had nothing. I had no preparation. I was not going to sit there and rewatch every match. So one of the steps that I am taking to doing that is I'm going to be writing about every show that I watch, and that's really going to help me sort of figure out year-end lists, sort of booking decisions, quick results. And I'm also doing match recaps as I sort of make decisions about matches that are 4 stars. And I'm doing write-ups about those now, and you get to all read them in 11 months. So that'll be fun. But I do PWG, AEW reviews. All-Star Weekend has to be coming out at some point, so I will be reviewing those as soon as they come out. Windy City Classic number 9 comes out next week. That review will be posted. I did a column about the crazy month that was, where I say different things than I said today about some of the issues that we've discussed about Matt Hardy and CM Punk and TNA. And I also talk some about the rising Midwest independent scene, Dreamwave, St. Louis Anarchy. Shame on you, Chris and Dez, for almost forgetting Dreamwave.
Yeah, I apologize for that. So that was a mishap on my notes and the difference between mine and his notes.
Dreamwave Wrestling in LaSalle, Illinois, this Saturday, February the 1st. If you're in the area, definitely check it out to see Christian Rose and AJ Styles. That is going to be a fantastic piece of business, and I'm very much looking forward to it. PWPonderings.com, Twitter.com/PWPonderings, and Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor. Those are all the places that you can find me.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm most looking forward to Matt Cage at some point using the go to slap. No? Okay.
I don't want to get in trouble for calling it that.
Hey, I didn't write up those results, so you can't blame me. I'm not going to out who did, but it wasn't me. I'll just leave
damn
it at
them.
That.
Damn them to hell.
Exactly. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to part 2, very special edition of the weekly newscast. Send all your feedback to mailbag at pwponderings.com and check us out on all of our social media at the same handle, facebook.com/pwponderings or twitter.com/pwponderings. And if you happen to be on Google+, we're there also, but it's pwponderings.com. So just Peter B. Ponderings Calm on Google Plus. So check that out. All right, Jerome. Thanks again. Have a great week, everyone.
Yep.